Here in America, we have a lot of privileges. We have food, water, but all over the world, there are people who have limited access to these basic necessities. They sometimes not even having a place to put their head down to go to sleep. And oftentimes, we don't recognize what we have. We don't recognize the luxuries that we have. And in similar fashion, we sometimes can make the same mistake when it comes to worshiping our God. Sometimes we don't recognize that worshiping God is a luxury. It's truly a privilege that we have, that we can worship our God. And so tonight, I want to make, well not tonight, this morning, I want to make 3 points about why it is a luxury that we can worship our God. The first point I want to make is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. It says that we are partaking of the Lord's Supper and fellowship and communion with the body and blood of Christ. But how do we do that? And why do we do that? Well, if you go to the next verse, verse 17, the word for, because. So we have communion with the body and blood of Christ. Why? How? Because we, though many, are one bread. You know, it's interesting, when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, he doesn't say, okay, on the right half of the auditorium, you guys can eat the bread. Left half, you guys eat the watermelon. Right? He doesn't say, right half of the auditorium, you guys can drink the fruit of the vine. Left half, you guys can drink the apple juice. No, we're all partaking of the same thing. We're united. And that's what worship does for the church. It unites us. And so when we come together on the first day of the week to partake the Lord's Supper, Acts 20, verse 7, it will edify us because we are united as one body. Another example of how worship can unite Christians is the Lord's Supper. In the Lord's Supper, well, not the Lord's Supper, singing. In singing. And if you go to Isaiah 52, verse 8, the context of Isaiah 52, verse 8, is that we are the church. Isaiah is giving a prophecy about the church. And so in verse 8, he says, your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together. For, that word again, for, meaning because. So why are we singing together? Because we shall see eye to eye. The very fact that we are united is why we are worshiping. We get to sing together. And that ought to edify us, that when we come together and worship, we are united and we are edified. The second point I want to make about why worship is a privilege for us is that we get to enter into the presence of the King. The other day, we're in VBS, we're learning about Esther, all about Queen Esther. And in the story, at some point, she has to come before the King. And she's fearful for her life because she realizes that if the king does not deem her worthy, if she's not worthy to come into the presence of the king, what happens? She could die. The king could execute her for that. And so we can take that same principle and we can look at ourselves and we can realize how less worthy are we to come into the presence of the Almighty, the infinite God, that we can come into his presence. And that does seem to be an issue, doesn't it? And in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah, he realizes the same issue. You know, how can we come to God? How can we, as sinful people, come to the presence of God? In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The context of Isaiah 6, Isaiah is taken up into heaven. He's in the presence of God, and the seraphim are worshiping God, and he realizes, I'm not worthy enough to be here. And so we have this issue. We're not worthy enough to sit in the presence of God. But the solution in the New Testament is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. It reads, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." The reason why we can come to the presence of God, the Almighty, the infinite God, is because Jesus is our mediator. He allows us to come to the presence of God. It's a gift. This isn't something we should be able to do, but it's something that God has given to us. If you go to Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 18, it reads, "For through him, Jesus, we have access by one Spirit to the Father." And so it says, through Jesus, we are able to have access to the Father, to the King. And another note on that verse, it says that we have access by one Spirit to the Father. So it's not only a gift from Jesus, but it's also a gift from the Holy Spirit, that without which we would be nothing, that without which we could not worship our God. Another thing, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says that we are a royal priesthood. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." That's important. It's important that we are a priesthood. If you go back to the Old Covenant Israel, they had priests. They had a special select men that are designated to be priests that can offer up sacrifices to God. But we don't have that anymore. Why? Because we are the priesthood. We are the chosen generation that is able to offer up spiritual sacrifices. If you read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says that from the fruit of our lips, we can sacrifice praise to God. This is something that is exclusive to the church. It's a gift that we have, that we can be the royal priesthood. The third point that I want to make about why worship is a privilege is that it reminds us of our place. One of the most awe-inspiring attributes of Scripture is that it's infinitely deep. It has all sorts of wisdom. If you go to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 8, it reads, "Like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place." That was chapter 27, verse 8. And so God, he's illustrating this picture, a bird wandering from its nest. If a bird wanted to get eaten, the first course of action it would take, wander from its nest, right? And so God says, likewise, if a man wants to suffer in this life, the first course of action would be to wander from his place. In Psalm chapter 8, verse 3, it reads, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him?" So David, he's humbling himself. He realizes, I'm not worthy. What is man that you are mindful of him? He recognizes his place on the ladder. He says, "For you have made him a little lower than angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." What a privilege it is that we can recognize our place, that we can recognize where we stand in relation to God. A great example of how worship can teach us where we're at is the Lord's Supper. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, it says, "Do this in remembrance of me." The Lord's Supper, it truly is worship to God, but it's also a gift to us. We can recognize that we are dependent. We're dependent on the body and the blood of Jesus. And so you can hear these three points that I have about how worship unites the church, about how worship allows us to come into the presence of God, and how worship can teach us our place. And you can say, okay, I get it. You know, worship is a privilege. But what am I going to do about that? What does that have to do with me? Well, what it has to do with us, the application that we can draw from recognizing that worship is a privilege is that we need to be reverent when we come to God on the first day of the week. We need to be reverent towards Him. And we need to recognize that worship is a gift. It's a gift from Jesus. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit that we can offer to God and praise Him for it.